For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, kicking into hour number two, it is the home team. We're presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Chris and Jeff till 7. Plenty more to come. We do have some early college football numbers we'll kick around and discuss as the offshore community continues to try to stimulate its economy. I did bring good news last week with the fact that, you know, the Australian Rules Football League did get underway, and they played through the weekend before announcing that they were actually going to be canceling as well. So it was kind of hopeful that, hey, there's sports that are happening in other parts of the world. But it was the same thing that had started over here, where they weren't allowed to shake hands. There was even a post-match interview where
they could tackle each other.
Right. So there was this one post-match interview where the guy, there's like this enormous microphone, and the player is standing on the other end of it. And then there's a guy standing, you know, like at least 6 feet away talking to him. But yes, during the course of the game, there was obviously plenty of contact happening in Australian rules football. So that was going on. But then on like Saturday night over here, which was by then Sunday, in Australia, they announced that they were going to be shutting down. So some hope that, you know, there would be, you know, at least some sports happening in other parts of the world. As of now, I think the only thing happening, there's like some Russian basketball league that's playing games, but beyond that, it is pretty much globally a dire situation when it comes to live sporting events.
Chris, we do have some live Twitter stuff going that's really good, though.
All right.
Thanks to our man James Brown. Please, love the segment, talking NASCAR back in the first hour. And he sends us that great picture of the guy with the back so hairy that he looks like a grizzly bear with the 3 shaved into it.
Yeah, that guy's coming after me now because I said,
be careful now.
Yeah. I thought, in my untrained eye, now maybe we need to get our friend Tyler Head on the phone and see what his opinion is, because his would matter, because
he's an aficionado.
He knows it. But Earnhardt started that.
Be careful.
Right.
Tell Bramer he doesn't want to make this guy drive on over to the station and open up a can. He's still mad about Dale and Daryl wrecking back in 86. Our buddy Bobby listening in over in Elgin, South Carolina, and he's on the 960 The Ref app. Said he is cooking some fried gator tail today.
I like it.
All right, good stuff there. Thank you to Tony. Hey, at Jeff Dantzler and Bramer, who is not on Twitter. Love that Charles Jefferson reference. Man was a beast. Fast Times, one of his top 5 flicks ever. # Jeff Spicoli. And I'll give you, and who could ever forget Phoebe Cates? I know no child of that era ever could. She was
not from that particular movie.
She was what we in the business call a 5-star prospect.
Yeah. And Judge Reinhold agreed.
And she noticed that he agreed. Oh, yes, she did.
You know, he was thinking about him, too, because now, especially in this, our current time, you know, he was the close talker.
He was the close talker.
Yeah.
He was
like he'd be dangerous right now.
He was also the good guy cop Billy in a Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah.
But Judge Reinhold in Seinfeld would be weapon right now.
That's right. He'd have to get tested right away.
Yeah.
You're going to talk this close.
And anyone else.
You're clear. That's right.
So, Jonathan Jefferson, not related to Charles. Although, if he needs a little push sometime before a game, we'll always be out there to vandalize his car like it was the Gators that had done it. But that does lead us to The 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Let's talk Jonathan Jefferson first. Jeff, how excited should we be about this news today?
Yeah, very excited. I think you got two areas. You always need good defensive linemen. and there just aren't a lot in the state this year. We've talked about this a lot. That's the hardest position to find guys. There just aren't a lot of enormous men who run really well and who are athletic. There just aren't.
Now, he's only a four-star, though.
Well, that was a big-time get. And, again, the other part of that, you're talking about another elite in-state prospect. So you're looking at the four commitments, all highly touted, all in-state guys, and two of them defensive linemen. Again, kind of just keeping with Kirby, David Daniels, 6'2". Vandegrift is 6'3". Marlon Dean, 6'6", 265. Jefferson's 6'4", listed anywhere from 255 to 270.
Now, we always do the play the future offensive line depth chart game, but let's do it for the D-line now with two verbal commitments right now on that front and a bunch of seniors that'll be gone after 2020 and potentially Jordan Davis as well. So what does the 2021 defensive line depth chart look like?
That's a good – I think you got two guys for sure in Trayvon Walker and Jalen Carter. I will go Nazir Stackhouse, and then on that second unit, you probably throw out there Warren Brinson, and let's see, I'm trying to think, because I guess Brinson, Carter, and Stackhouse were the only three coming in this year, and then you've got to hope that Zion Logue, Timon Mitchell, Bill Norton, Tramell Walltower, that class, one or two of those guys can come along, because if not, Jefferson. Look, Dean, I would just guess at 6'6", 265. You know, I'm sure with the four-game rule, he'll play, but, you know, I don't know. He might be one of those four-game guys and get the shirt. But, I mean, I would think Jefferson's a guy who would figure on the depth chart because, again, just looking out there at the class with defensive linemen and looking through regionally, nationally, there just aren't a lot out there this year. So, oh, gosh, if Jordan Davis could come back, that would be enormous, because they need to be talking about a starting line of Davis, Walker, and Carter, and that'd be –
Well, you know, given the impact that Walker had last season, I think after signing day or the signing days, mm-hmm. we certainly had pegged that Carter was a guy that you would have – he wasn't coming in here to redshirt, certainly. But now with the uncertainty of when will he be allowed to even come to campus – how can they train during the offseason? And it's not like most of these kids that are freshmen have access to, like, world-class trainers that they'd be getting if they were allowed to come here and start getting in shape with the Georgia strength and conditioning program. So, I mean, do you worry, I mean, for a guy like that you come in now and let's say the season does get cranked up, but maybe is it less likely he could have an impact next fall?
I think depending on when these guys can get in, it could potentially push freshman impact back some. You know, we talk about – we usually – and I just always go back to Rennie Kern in 2007. We started seeing the true freshman splash impact for a lot of guys kind of from the Florida game on after that open date pushing through. And that might even be more true. I'm sure a lot of these guys are – you know, working out in their high school stadiums and, you know, doing whatever they can, obviously with – very low numbers, but
although didn't Fromm get kicked out of his this weekend
at house? I think they jumped the fence.
Yeah, because like everything's shut. It's shut.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, even I mean Fromm even got booted.
Hey, son, get out of here. But I think they had said too. It's like, look, if you just let us know, we'll open it up.
Oh, okay. So it was the fact that he kind of broke into it.
I think they said they saw a truck pulled up at like a couple of chairs or a table or something put out there so they could climb over there, which is, you know, hey, just guys trying to get in there to play and work out a little bit. But, you know, hopefully, you know, God knows, knock on wood, hopefully for the kids who normally come in at the 1st of June, that can still be the case, and it won't slow things down too much. But, you know, at this point, it's just a guessing game for everybody. Again, every – doctor I've talked to has said, well, we kind of think around, you know, mid-April the thing would have kind of hit its peak, and then it'll what's the term now, the curve will flatten and all that. So if that went on, then hopefully another couple of weeks, then a couple of weeks buffer. And, you know, I asked a couple of doctor friends, I said, could we have Major League Baseball by Memorial Day? Yes, that could potentially happen. So you would think if that's the case, then that maybe a lot of business could be up and rolling, and that would mean that these guys could go ahead and get here. And I got to think, too, listen, for anybody, for what we do, I didn't mean to totally go on a tangent and a rant here, Chris, but, you know, there'd be times like a couple, oh, golly, you know, I got three games. Oh, golly, I got to go through these notes on this Santa Clara baseball game here. I would kill to do that. And I'm sure, not literally kill, but you know what I mean.
Right.
And I'm sure for a lot of, oh, God, I got to get up and work out again and go run with my teammates. They're going to be, for any profession you're in, but we talk about sports here, there are going to be some hungry athletes out there who have, like any of us, you take things for granted, who now all of a sudden when that stuff's taken away from you. Well, I think about our baseball guys. Boy, and you know for this, like, oh, my God, we got to go to practice today. We've had 5 games in 6 days. Oh, what those kids would give to go have a practice again.
Well, I mean, think about, like, how much you were dreading, like, oh, my God, you got to – because the road trips this year were brutal, right? Columbia, Missouri, wasn't Fayetteville on there?
Fayetteville.
And College Station.
Great stadiums, but, you know, it's a long ways, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, especially the Columbia trip, because that's just a terrible stadium. But how much you're like – you weren't looking forward to that, and like right that now you'd give anything to have to make that trip.
Anything. Like Dave and I both cannot be seated and see the field.
That's a problem.
They cut the booth in half, so you've got like this barricade, this wall in front of you, so you know, one of you's got to kind of lean your head out. I would give anything to be caught
yeah.
that came from that just crappy booth right
but
now.
Even think like how many times the players make the long trip, get on a bus, and like immediately the coach sends them to the stadium to hit like, or something.
Gosh.
Like, and I'm sure they're like, really, we can't go and maybe take a nap or something in the hotel and stretch and relax for a second. But they'd give anything right now to like be in a cramped plane followed by a bus ride to immediately have to go and hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all would. I mean, I would give, like, for me, when I go on my walk every day, I walk down by the field, and it's hard going by it. And especially on Saturday, it was 85 degrees. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, the place would have been packed. You know, just think about, from a personal standpoint, the number of people who'd be popping in the booth to say hello. You know, Georgia against South Carolina. You know, they've got great pitching. You know, we would have had Hancock and Wilcox going. I'm just saying this would have been just a perfect day to be out here. It's tough, and I know for a lot of people, we're going through this in our everyday lives. So, you know, I was talking with some friends from New York who are still down. What in the world is the point of going back? You don't want to go back to New York right now.
No, I would stay here.
They are, and you know, we were talking, and it's like there is the potential. I mean, there's going to be obviously a lot of, you know, the financial impact of this. Braving our financial experts living in the high leverage, high finance world of radio here, but you know, it's obviously an enormous financial impact. But listen, eventually we're going to get through this, and you know, you hope when anything awful happens that there are positives that come out of it. And I think, you know, one of those top things will be, and I mean, it has certainly hit for me, and it's natural for anybody when something's your job just to take things for granted. But man, what I wouldn't give just to go sit up in that booth to be calling, you know, last Wednesday it would have been Georgia against, I think, USC Spartanburg.
USC Upstate.
Yeah.
And then Georgia was going to continue its dominance of South Carolina
Absolutely.
This weekend.
Absolutely. And then, you know, Clemson would be coming to town, and we'd be going up to Vandy this weekend. And, you know, I think about our tennis players and golfers and, you know, the softball team and the track and field team. And those kids are all training and working like crazy. And, you know, what they wouldn't give, even probably to go to English class right now with their classmates and say, oh, yeah. God, I got to wake up this morning. I got to go to my classes. Then I got to go to the pool, the baseball field, the softball field, the track, the golf course, whatever it may be, and go work out for 2 or 3 hours and then go to study hall.
No.
Every one of those kids.
You take it.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, I got depressed when I came in here today, and we always keep a calendar on the wall, the sports broadcast calendar by month, and Dave unfortunately updated it today to delete everything off the rest of
That's
the month
me.
Of March, so it's just nothing now but blank spaces in this calendar.
And I was even thinking about it so much with the weather, because as you well know, Brain, from your many years of incredible service at Foley Field as the greatest PA man in the country. And you were, my friend. And, you know, we're all amateur weathermen in baseball, right?
Yeah.
And the worst, oh, there's a window. It's like, oh, God, there's a window. They're going to wait for an hour then try and play. What I wouldn't give for a window. And I was thinking about this even. We had some friends graciously invited, like, listen, I know it sucks. You don't have baseball. You know what? You may as well take advantage of the time. Some friends with a pool said, you and Emily just go hang out at our pool today. Okay. It was great on Saturday. I'd have much rather been at baseball, but still, I was just thinking about if we had baseball, the weather. It was 85 degrees out there. It's hot. I got sunburned. And then yesterday, the high's like 55. Emily and I took Albus out for a walk, and we're all bundled up in sweatshirts. And I'm thinking, like, God, if this were baseball the day before, I'd have been complaining that they don't like forced to wear shorts to the game. And then, like, today I'd have my fleece and my rain jacket on.
Yeah, and today
it's freezing today. But Saturday, I mean, it felt like June.
It was.
Saturday.
It was summer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Moving on to the 5 at 5, and on the subject of, you know, when might the sports world return, the Olympics reportedly are going to be postponed until 2021, and the source on that is one of the IOC members, Dick Pound. Great name, by the
way.
But nothing official, because there's obviously a lot of logistics that come with postponing the Olympics, but it looks like the Olympics are going to be postponed until 2021, which has, you know, some worry, like, hey, wait a second, this is an event that was supposed to happen in August. They're now postponing it for a year. If that can happen, then, you know, could the college football and NFL seasons be in jeopardy? Jeff, what would be the DEFCON level for that potential based on the Olympics getting postponed?
I wouldn't put too much into that, because you've got to think now, this is a prime preparation time. So much so, we can get Jack Bowerly on with us one day. He's had years like Allison Schmidt, when she won gold medal, she redshirted that year. So she could prepare on the proper scientific timetable for the Olympics. So you're talking about now the travel that goes into it, the logistics that go into it. I don't think any country's Olympic committee would feel like their kids would be getting a fair shake. And I think it's a just in case. And it would just make, I think, the most sense to everybody to say, hey, listen, we're just going to move this to 2021. So to me, you know, this is as much about the travel, the logistics, and just the training that goes into it. And then when you had a couple of countries say, like, listen, we're not going to go. And I guess, was it Australia and Canada were the first two?
And the U.S. has been pushing to postpone, too.
For,
I mean,
sure.
Ultimately, the U.S. probably would bail out of it, too, I would think.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, I think it's the only thing that you can do right now. But no, I think for college football, you know, if everybody keeps just doing what you're supposed to be doing, wash your hands, social distancing,
yeah,
coughing to your elbow, all that stuff. And I mean, at some point, you know, these numbers are going to flatten out, and at some point we're going to get back to our routines. And I'm going to stay in there optimistically if baseball can start around Memorial Day, should be good to go.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying that it's if an event scheduled for August could be postponed right now, then I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, there's no chance that college football and
sure
the NFL
could happen,
won't but. Be. But it is like this instant where you know, some feel like I have to take to Twitter to show how smart I am and, you know, put that out there. Like, don't worry, you know, this could mean college and the NFL could get postponed, but they're not even the same thing. I mean, there's also Olympic qualifying, which would be scheduled to happen now, which can't. It's also a global event that involves athletes from all over the world. So it's
over 100 nations.
It's not apples to apples.
No, it is not. That's different than Georgia traveling to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and I've over the last couple of weeks, I've become obsessed with why is what's happening now so different than what happened in 2009? Because like this, that was the swine flu H1N1 was considered a pandemic by the World Health Organization. So why is this so different now? And I've done a lot of reading of science journals, and I by no means am an expert on it, but I am pretty now well-read in things that are different about this. And not to get too deep into it, but one of the things that is different is that it's the prevalence now of social media, and there's just a lot of, to be kind, sometimes people will refer to it as misinformation, but truthfully, it's just people get on there and flat out lie about stuff, and you know, they just take that, you know, no one will bother to fact check me, some will just take my word for it. But so instantly here you are with the fear mongering of like, hey, if the Olympics can be canceled, then don't think that college football and the NFL can't be postponed. And while they're not wrong, there's also really no point in putting that out there because you're not an expert on it. You don't have any idea. And there are significant differences in an event like the Olympics.
Oh my God.
And college and pro football here in America.
Well, what you just said, like the qualifying. And again, for swimming, I mean, there are even times, you know, during the regular season, like big picture, like for swimming, like, yeah, we want to beat Florida in swimming in October. But there are certain baselines you want your swimmers at different points in the season. Same thing for track and field. And to me, swimming and track and field are the bell cow sports of the Olympics. So on a college level, you want your athlete at certain baselines, at certain times, at certain points of the year. So they're peaking for the Southeastern Conference Championships and for the national championships. So that same goes for, obviously, your Olympic teams. And again, you're talking about travel. I don't even know how many countries are there officially in the world now. Is it 180, 280?
Yeah.
You're talking about over 100 nations that are coming. The logistics that goes into that, it just, you know, it's as you said, it's not apples to apples. And I've talked to three doctor friends, and, you know, they've all – and a couple of pharmacist friends, they've all kind of said the same thing about hopefully, you know, if everybody does their due diligence around mid-April, this thing's going to peak. And I had another doctor friend tell me, you know, kind of matter-of-factly, he goes, well, you know, there was a Spanish flu in 1918. He goes, these things, they just happen every 100 years or so, and it's going to flatten out, and it's going to be okay. But I agree with you 100% on the social media aspect of it. And that's why I do have a lot of friends that on Twitter, I had my buddy Craig Camuso said, hey, everybody today, just for something fun, put up a picture of one of your favorite Major League Baseball players. And it was great. So, you know, there was some Rafael Ramirez, some Dale Murphy. I came through with the one and only Gorman Thomas just to get some, you know, just to get positive things going out there. So you're exactly right. There's no good in fear-mongering or anything. This just, and getting back to the Tokyo thing, it makes no sense for them to try and do this massive worldwide event. Then remember, these sites are announced 7 years out. There's another summer games and I guess, what, two winter games in between. So the powers that be, they're going to all these places, taking it in, trying to put it all together. The smart move is just to move it back a year. Listen, remember, the Ryder Cup was supposed to be played in 2001. They just moved it back a year. It's like, you can't play this. I mean, you know, we can't do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's the big thing is, yeah, the big thing is like qualifying for the Olympics hasn't even started, even though the games are in August, but you know, athletes don't even know who's going yet.
No. So I think, listen, you hit it best. Just put all your opinions on social media, present them as fact. That's what Brame said. Wait, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not apples to apples.
I mean, it's, you know, I've been really like consumed with like, why is this so different than 10 years ago? And so, I mean, I've read enough about it. I mean, I'm not talking out of my butt about the stuff, but. And, you know, we won't bore everyone with the details, but you know, one conclusion I did reach is that it's the prevalence now of social media that wasn't here 10 years ago to kind of like stir up a real frenzy either, or at least when it comes to like misinformation and putting stuff out there. And, you know, so that's one there where like all of a sudden the Olympics are getting canceled. You better worry about football now. Like, I'm not saying anyone's wrong. Sure. I think it's a possibility the football season might not happen this year or could get delayed and won't start when it's supposed to. But, you know, anyone throwing that out there has no idea, and you're just wildly speculating, and you know, there's no real need for that right now.
No, there's not. And, hey, even Commissioner Sankey has said we're going on full steam ahead and anticipating the season.
I mean, SEC con. Yeah, they're planning for it.
That's what you can do. But the best thing I think that anybody can do, and you know, we're all trying to do it, is just follow these honestly pretty simple guidelines that have been put out there for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to stay inside as much as I can. I mean, you do have to go to the grocery store from time to time. That's pretty much, I mean, which really isn't anything out of the ordinary for me, but I'm at home and I go to the grocery store once or twice a week to gather up some supplies to cook. I've had to become more creative now with what I want to cook because I've gone to the store and you know, yesterday was my wife's birthday.
Oh, I didn't
so
know
I decided
that.
Happy
to birthday, Linda.
I was going to make her some homemade cinnamon rolls. So I went to the grocery store Saturday and I'm like, you know, certainly, like, brown sugar won't be sold out. And I went, and I'm like, there's no brown sugar. There were, like, three packs all the way in the very back of the shelf, though. So then I'm like, well, cream cheese, that's not going to be completely sold out. Yes, it is. So I had to go to a different store that did have a couple packs of cream cheese. But, like, cream cheese could spoil, so I have no idea why that is. There was 0.0 of it.
Well, that just
I need buttermilk. Nope, no buttermilk either.
I'm impressed that you know how to make homemade cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, you want me? I'll bring you one.
Happy 29th, Linda.
Yeah. Finally,
and
Jeff.
By the way, is Bodie getting like extra spoiled now with Linda being at home most of
well,
the time?
Well, so is Linda getting right. spoiled by working from home too.
Yeah, Emily's teaching on the computer. She's doing a great job. So at 8 o'clock every morning, it's ding. It's still weird for me to hear like, good morning, Mrs. Dantzler. I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, hey, that's me. Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5 at 5. Over the weekend, the Falcons signed a former first-round pick, Laquon Treadwell, of the Vikings. He was the 23rd pick of the 2016 draft. Jeff, they say the Falcons could have as many as 11 former first-round picks on its offense next season. Jeff, the Falcons, juggernaut?
Or not. The latter.
Yeah, I would say the Falcons' offense really wasn't the problem last season anyway.
And the one part of their offense that is a problem is the line.
And that include like that James Carpenter is included in the – he was a first-round pick, remember.
As were the two first-round picks from last season on and, the O-line.
And I believe Alex Mack was.
And Jake Matthews.
So Matthews, Carpenter, that's Lidstrom, five. McGarry –
five guys, if Mac was too.
Yeah. And now Mac's been good, though.
Oh, for sure. Matthews has been good.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fine.
He's not elite.
No.
But he's good.
And, you know, but Carpenter was that guy. I never forget that draft night when Seattle took him and Nick Saban
Bobby?
Was like, they took James?
Or James, that's right.
Yeah.
God, I didn't even get his name right.
Bobby was the old linebacker from, Bobby Carpenter was like that's a linebacker right. from Ohio State.
That's right. That yeah. was close.
Yeah, so the Falcons are really, they're feeling good. They got 11 former first-rounders on that offense.
So you got Ryan, you got the, was that, at least five linemen, Ryan, TG3, Ridley, and Julio. That's nine right
and
there.
And now Treadwell.
That's true. So that's a lot of first-round picks here.
Yeah. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.